Welcome to the Playful Spirituality Podcast, a place to reconnect to spirit, to reclaim your unbridled wildness, and to bring you home to you. I'm Kara Viana, and I'm honored to be on this adventure with you. This is a place to discover your magic and your superpowers. And yes, you definitely have them. It's designed to tap you into the unconditional love and support flowing to you, and to help you access that wild, unbridled joy that we so often lose touch with. You can expect all sorts of resources, from spiritual and practical tools and teachings to guided meditations and energy healing. We'll have some special guests and even some live readings. This show is for all of us who are humaning, to help you navigate this ride of life. If you are open to a little more support, more ease, a broader connection to the universe and to yourself, then stay tuned and find out what might be possible with an infusion of playful spirituality. Aloha, my friends, coming to you today with so much gratitude. I've got a really fun tool that I want to share with you that has been on my mind the last couple months. I'm going to start by telling you a story. So my dear friend Amalia was chatting in a video message with another girlfriend and I, and we were talking about home decor and design. We were asking each other's opinions and advice on things. And she said, here, this is to give you an idea of my style. This is what I want. And she opened up this book, and in the video, she showed us a handful of pages in this book. And it was this really colorful, bohemian, very, very, very specific style. I don't know exactly what to call it, but she found a book of it and was showing us this book. And then she said, and then here's my living room, my current living room. And, you know, she made some thing like we all do. Like, she's like, it's not clean. You know, you guys can see it because you're my friends, but here. And she turned around and she panned the room. And to me, and I was looking closely and I rewound the video and watched it again, there was no fucking discernible difference between her living room and the photos of these books. You could have taken a glossy photo of her living room and stuck it in the book, and it would have been bright colors and plants and different patterns and textures, and it would have fit in perfectly. So I immediately reflected that back to her, like, I don't know what you're talking about here. You know, the question that she was asking was like, would this couch or this chair go in or something? I don't know, whatever it was that we were actually discussing. But I immediately responded, and so did the other girlfriend in this conversation. We were like, your living room already looks like the thing you're trying to accomplish. Checkbox. It's there. It's done. It's right in front of you. You nailed it. You could absolutely stick your living room in this book. And she was so surprised. She was like, wow, really? And it was mind-boggling to me that she didn't see it, but of course I understood it completely, and it sparked this really fun conversation about, you know, there's that phrase, losing the forest for the trees, where you're so in it that all you can see is the couple of trees right around you. You can't see and you don't understand that there is a giant forest. You're so focused on a couple of trees. You don't see or comprehend the whole forest. And as we were talking and she was saying, oh my gosh, thank you, I didn't know that, as we were reflecting this, what she saw when she looked and what she had been like apologizing for, or, you know, saying like, hey, don't pay attention to, was the messy things, right? The things that when she looked at it, she saw the things that weren't quite right yet. This brick face that she doesn't like, this thing that she wants to move from here to here, or this painting that maybe hasn't been hung yet, or kids' toys on the floor, or a blanket that needs to be folded, or whatever it was. I honestly couldn't tell you because I was looking at it with these fresh eyes and all I saw was the big picture. I couldn't even tell you what was actually out of place. I just made up all of those examples because to me, I didn't notice those. I was taking this in with these new eyes, right? This fresh perspective, and all I could see was the forest and how epically perfect and beautiful it was. And she saw the exact opposite. And this is what we do in life all the time. And you know who's seeing with a bigger picture than you could ever comprehend is your higher self. This is why every time I talk to every single higher self, and there have been thousands of conversations since I've been channeling, they are always, ever, only in celebration of you. Always, ever, only. I have never, thousands of conversations, I have never heard a higher self say, oh, you really screwed the pooch on that one. Or like, oh, man, he is in such a hard place. I don't even know. They're always so excited and so happy and so proud because they can see not only your entire life, but the whole history and the whole future, like the whole probable future. It's not predetermined, but they're seeing, you know, you fall and skin your knee and they're so excited because they know that that means you're learning how to walk, right? Only bigger picture, as adults, as grownups, we lose sight of that. You know, I ran into some car and then I got this fender bender and it doubled my insurance. And like, that's a terrible thing. We don't really comprehend the benefit that could be coming out of that in the future, but your higher self does. And so they're in this celebration all the time. So this sparked this really fun discussion between a couple of friends. And it was all about where could we use this ability, if we had the ability to pan back a little bit and look at the big picture and not the micro details, where would we want to use that and what would it shift? So if you could imagine, you know what it feels like the first time you bring someone into your home? If you're like me, you probably have a messy home. I mean, maybe it's not disgusting. Sometimes my home is disgusting, but usually not disgusting. But it's almost always got some clutter because it's a constant thing, right? And I would love to tell you, because I would love to be one of those people who has always an immaculate house, and I fucking don't. Even with extra help, I don't. But when someone comes to my house for the first time, I'm like, I want them to have this impression of it at its best. I want them to see it in its best light, which to me is when it's tidy and things are in the right place and it's radiating this beauty, right? Like when the table, like the dining room table, has a couple of maybe like the runner on it and there's like a few beautiful things set up in the middle, a plant or crystal or whatever. And sometimes it looks like that, but a lot of times it just looks like there's kind of like stuff piled on it because, you know, you're moving this from that to that room and right? It's usually got like the massage gun sitting on it because I was standing there like using that on my hip at night while I watched a television show and then I set it on the fucking table. So there's usually things that need tidying. And when people come over, if I have the chance, I want to run around and tidy things up. I want them to see the house in its best light. And it's funny that we don't pan back to see what people might actually take in. Because I'm looking at that dining room table and all I'm seeing is the stuff that's sitting on top of it. I'm not noticing that it's a beautiful table and it's in a beautiful room and there's two sliding glass doors right there and they go out onto this patio with this gorgeous view. I'm looking at it and saying, oh my gosh, look at all the crap on the dining room table. Look at like the floor needs to be swept. Oh my God, the baby's high chair is fucking disgusting. And then when you look out into the patio and the sliding glass door, like I see leaves all over that need to be swept and there's cat hair on the outdoor furniture. And like, those are the things I see. But someone else walking into this would take in all the rest of it. And maybe they're a really clean person and they're going to be like, ew, Kara's gross, but that's their fucking problem. So mostly they're probably going to look at it and say, wow, what a beautiful home you have. Because it is a beautiful home. We put a lot of work into it. It's gorgeous. And I think about, so this conversation has gone on now. What would it be like if you looked at your home through that big picture lens all the time instead of the nitpicky little lens? Can you imagine how much you would enjoy your home if you were seeing it in that way all the time? Like, let me see if I can imagine that for a second. I would pull up to my home and I would notice how cute the color is and the nice layout and how quiet the street is, as opposed to pulling up and being like, oh, that thing needs to be weeded. And we've got a couple citrus trees next to the driveway. And so there's usually rotten fruit. In fact, always, almost always there's rotten fruit and whatever. So I wouldn't see that. I would pull up and be like, fruit trees and look at this. And this is so cute and blah, blah. Look, the red door, they've got a red door. How fun is that? And then you'd walk into the house and I would be like, oh, look at that beautiful painting and look at the nice balustrade. Oh my God, the floors. I would look at the floors every day. We put in these epically beautiful wood floors. And I would notice those because I would be walking in with fresh eyes instead of being like, damn it, my shoes are sitting right there. Instead of seeing the to-do list, how much more enjoyment would I receive from this house that I've put all this effort into. And why did I put all the effort into the house to make it into this thing so that I would get enjoyment out of it? I didn't give a shit about keeping up with any Joneses. Oh, that doesn't do it for me. Beauty feeds me. I love to have beauty in different places. And I would walk in and I would see those things. And you know what's interesting is it would probably, oh, this is fascinating. I hadn't thought about this till right now. So you get to be real time with me. It would probably entice me to do more tidying and cleaning and keeping things nicer because I would be in the enjoyment of those things. If I walked in and I was like, oh, look how gorgeous this is. Look at that beautiful crystal sitting next to the front door, next to that little plastic Buddha thing. And oh, it's just so beautiful. And then I'd probably grab a rag and dust it, as opposed to walking in and seeing all the things that need to be done, which has the exact opposite effect on me. It makes me feel overwhelmed and not in that enjoyment state. I walk in and I'm like, ugh, I feel heavy. There's so many things to do and it weighs on me. And this is all subtle. Most of the time I walk in the house and I'm greeting the dogs, right? But these are subtle, sometimes big things. Now imagine if you played this out in your relationship. Uh-oh. How much time do you spend nitpicking the people you're in relationship with, whether you say it out loud or not? How much time do you spend being like, oh, my teenager left his socks and they're so gross on the this or the that again and like blah, blah, blah. Why are teenage boys so disgusting and yada, yada, yada. 100 times a day probably because you're seeing all these things all the time. And how many times do you look at your partner and say, why can't she just clean up the freaking toothpaste out of the sink every single day, twice a day? There's toothpaste in the sink and it's so disgusting. Whatever your thing is, right? And we do this and we nitpick our partners consciously or sometimes barely consciously, right? You might look at that toothpaste and not actually have the thought, why is she so disgusting? But instead just be like, ugh, ugh. It's just like a little visceral reaction. And it's the same thing. It's not nearly as rude, right? It's rude if you're constantly outwardly nitpicking. But if you're doing it on the inside, it's have a similar impact on you. How often do we go around emasculating partners? You don't do this. And I mean emasculating towards men or women. But that like taking you down, 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 by constantly criticizing. And what would happen if you looked at the big picture? Because I'll tell you what, you're in your fucking relationships for a reason. Your son, if you have a teenage son, is a whole hell of a lot more than those disgusting dirty socks. And if you were to pan back and see what this partner of yours or this child of yours or this friend of yours or this parent of yours, like the whole picture of them, it would be a really drastic change in the way you're feeling towards your partner. Sometimes I do this practice where if I get a little bit critical of Brendan and I'm like, oh, I wish he, blah, 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 blah. I wish he like dealt with his emotions in a different way because I'm so fucking sensitive and empathic. And if he has a big emotion, I have to feel the big emotion and blah, 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 blah. So I might have that thought, but then I pause and I'm like, wait a minute. What was it like years ago when you first met him? And I think about how much emotional awareness and resilience, oh my gosh, and maturity and like he is 100 times more aware and in tune with his emotions and how to process them and how to feel them and how to all the things and also how to, I want to say contain, what's a good word there? Not to bottle them up, but not to have them be all over everyone else, you know, not like barfed on everyone else, which is the way most people, a lot of people handle their emotions. We sort of barf them everywhere. And yes, of course, there are moments when I'm like, ugh, so annoyed that you're annoyed. But expecting someone to never have emotions is ridiculous. And I pause and I remind myself of that. It's this panning back. And I'm still looking at one tiny percentage of this human being. One tiny little thing, but at least I'm looking at a little bit bigger picture of that one tiny facet. And that usually causes me to then go, oh yeah, and think about all the other growth I've seen in him. And he was my dream person when I met him. So he's like 1,000 times my dream person now. And if I'm really doing good, that might cause me to go on a little spiral of positivity about myself. Well, he's grown so much, but oh my gosh, so have I. Look at all these areas I used to grow in, and this used to really upset me, but now I just felt a little bit blah, 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 on and on and on, right? It's this rampage of positive things, appreciation rampage, instead of a criticism rampage, which is usually what we do as humans. And they have that, if you've ever bought a bag of fruit, like lemons or apples or whatever, and you leave the fruit in the bag, even if it's in the fridge, you notice how if one of those pieces of fruit rots, all the other ones near it rot real fast. And this is what we do. We take the 10% that we don't like, and it's probably even more like 1% if you really, 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 really analyzed it. But let's pretend it's 10%, because most of you would argue with me if I tried to tell you it was 1%. So let's pretend it's 10. 10% of things that you don't like about X, your home, your partner, your whatever. And then we put 90% of our focus on that. Because how much time are you spending focusing on those beautiful wood floors or the cute, quiet little driveway or how sweet it is that your partner makes coffee every morning and always makes extra because they know that you like to drink some later in the day when it's cold because you get tired, even though you don't like morning coffee or whatever. If we took and we put our focus, and your focus is energy, it's fuel, and you're pouring this gasoline all over the 10% you don't like, and you're causing wildfire. You're making it spread. If we took that fertilizer, that fuel, we poured that gasoline onto the little spark of the campfire we do want to grow on the 90% of things we want, because you'd really like to actually roast some marshmallows over here. This is getting ridiculous analogy, but whatever. If you put your focus on the things that are the way you like them, on the appreciation factor, then those are going to be the pieces that grow. What does this mean from terms of manifestation? I think you're getting the idea here, right? Your attention to something amplifies it. It's power. Your focus is your power. When you put your focus on something, it will grow. When you are in a space of, I freaking love my life. I love this house. I love being in this house. I appreciate this house. I love the beauty of this house. When that's the vibration coming out of you, law of attraction's like, oh, we should send Kara more beautiful home things, right? Match, 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 match. Like attracting like. More things that cause that similar vibration will start showing up for me. And when I walk around and I'm like, I'm overwhelmed. There's so much mess. I'm so unsupported. I never get ahead of things, which is my victim story I love to slip into when I start to feel overwhelmed. Then law of attraction is like, no problem. Here's some more stuff to be overwhelmed with. We got you. So play this out with me a little bit in the realm of your body. Your body. I have another story for you. So I had an amazing chiropractor on the Big Island when I lived on the Big Island, Dr. Nancy Fitzgerald. Shout out, because she's an incredible healer. And she did active release technique, which if you ever have a chance to receive, jump on it. It's my favorite modality. And it's a body work modality. And they just unwind muscles and tension and pain so effortlessly and quickly. And whenever I would come into her and I would be like, oh no, I've got, you know, this rib out, or I've got this mystery pain, or I can't even stand up straight. And it always was a fucking big deal to me. And I was teaching really high energy yoga dance class at the time. And it was so important to me that I'd be able to teach this class. And so every little thing that would happen, I'd be like, oh no, am I going to be able to teach? I sprained my ankle. Whatever it is, am I going to be able to teach? I got to teach. And whenever I would come in, she would very lovingly remind me while she's working on me, just remember, Kara, we are fine tuning. You are in exquisite health. You are in exquisite shape. You're athletic. You're whatever. I don't know. I mean, she wasn't just blowing smoke, but she would just lovingly remind me, remember, Kara, we're just fine tuning. We're just fine tuning. And what she was doing when she was saying that, the first few times she had to explain it to me a little bit more, and then she would just kind of say it. Because she had her hands on bodies all day long. of varying degrees of vitality and health and well-being. And so when I come in and I'm like, it's the end of the world. And, you know, I'm sure I didn't say that out loud, but I'm like bent over hobbling because I'm in pain. And pain, oh boy, does it take up our focus, right? Talk about putting all your attention on that one thing because it's so loud. So I'm coming in with this pain. And as she's working on me, she's like, just remember, we're fine tuning. And she was trying to remind me that I'm 99% healthy and vital. And there's just this one little percent that's causing a lot of pain and therefore a lot of my focus right now. But in all reality, it's a quick fix. Maybe I'll be in pain for a week. Maybe it'll be a month. It's not going to be a big fucking deal. Maybe she'll fix it right then. Doesn't matter. It's minor in comparison to the health and vitality and well-being that I have. And it was so helpful for me when she would say that. And now I want you to pretend that what if you had whatever the biggest physical ailment was you've ever experienced? Maybe you've had really big ailments. I just found out that a friend of mine who is a world famous first place many, many, many time winning triathlete and has been for decades was in a car accident so severe, like a car rolled off a cliff end over end 8 times. And so severe that his entire one side of his face was completely rebuilt, like reconstructed. And so that's really severe, right? But like they were like, we have no idea how you survived this. And he went on to have vitality. This is one of the most vital, healthy human beings I have ever met, more so than 99% of the fucking 20-year-olds out there. And if you could imagine yourself in a place with whatever your biggest thing was, maybe you had a broken leg, maybe you've gone through gallstones, maybe you've had cancer, whatever the biggest thing is you've ever been through. And then think about the rest of your body during that time. So don't focus on the whatever it was. Skip the broken leg, okay? The rest of your body. What was going on in the rest of your body? Well, you still had a heartbeat. And you were still breathing, and your body was metabolizing food and air, and your reproductive system was probably functioning, your digestive system was probably functioning, maybe a little slower because maybe you were on some pain meds, maybe you were like constipated. But the amount of vitality that was existing in your body, even when you were in a place of your most non-vital, whatever you would say, there was still so much vitality in your body. And what if we could put focus, even in those really, really difficult times, a little bit of focus, just a little bit, on the areas that are going really, really, really well. So I want you to think about your body as it is right now. And maybe you're feeling a little bit of appreciation because you might be thinking about when it was at its most challenged, most dis-ease. But right now, how is it? Is it really relatively pretty healthy? And what are the things that you usually nitpick? Because you look in the mirror and your eye is like this and that and the cellulite and the lack of muscle and the skin sagging, wrinkly, whatever. But what if you panned back and you looked at yourself as a whole human being? You'd probably be like, damn, that's a pretty good looking human. Wow, that's a pretty hot body. Shoot. If I saw myself walking down the street, I'd be like, that person looked pretty fucking good. In fact, I think that might be a person I'd like to meet. I'd ask that person out on a date. But we don't do that. We don't pan back and look at the big picture, right? And this is one of the most powerful things that you can do. There was a period in my life in my, I don't know, mid or late 20s. And I had this really, really startling realization. I was going all the time to the gym. I used to teach like an aerobic kickboxing class and some things. And I would go to the gym all the time. I loved classes at the gym. And the way the gym was set up, there was mirrors on both sides of this room and the participants could see themselves in the mirror. I couldn't see myself when I was teaching this particular class, but all the participants could see themselves. So every time I was in taking classes at the gym, which was probably 4 or 5 days a week at least, I was looking at myself in the mirror, either directly or from the corner of my eye, I could see myself. And one day I had this really like gut punch realization moment when I realized that subtly, consciously or subconsciously, I was spending most of that class criticizing myself. And not in a really obvious mean girl voice way, like, oh, Carrie, you're so stupid. No, I would never do that. No, in a, oh gosh, geez, that's a lot of cellulite. Oh man, how can I be 27 years old and have underarm jiggle or whatever it was? You know, are those American flags under my arms? Or, geez, I can't get that leg very high. And everything was this subtle criticism or insecurity. When I realized that, I stopped dead in my tracks because I knew enough about being the creator of your own reality. And I was like, that's it, Kara. The amount of benefit you're getting from these classes doesn't hold a candle to the amount of detriment you are doing. And that's not actually a true statement, by the way, but I was pretty upset with myself. So you might as well just quit going to the fucking gym altogether or figure out how to stop doing what you're doing. And it was this real, like, get your shit together lovingly to myself moment, which I don't usually do that way, but this was a wake-up call for me. And so I went about practicing. I came up with a mantra. It was something like, I'm fit, I'm sexy, I'm strong, something like that. And every time I would catch myself looking at something and feeling insecure about it in the mirror, I would come back to my mantra. I'm fit, I'm sexy, I'm strong. I'm fit, I'm sexy, I'm strong. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was really close to that. And so I started with that. I started with this mantra. And then pretty soon I started actually being able to notice things that I liked. And then I started noticing, oh, wow, there's some like muscle I could see in my calf when I do that one thing. Holy shit, I didn't know I had a visible calf muscle. I'll be darned. All right. And over time, what happened is I trained myself, like Pavlovian trained myself, that when I looked in the mirror in any kind of fitness class, I immediately started picking out things I liked. Ooh, look at the way that muscle moves. Ooh, look at the way this. Oh yeah, that's pretty, blah, blah, blah. I went on to start teaching this yoga class I was telling you about, and it was in a different gym. And in this gym, I was looking directly in the mirror. Everyone behind me was looking the same direction. So as opposed to facing the audience, I was facing myself in the mirror and they were all facing themselves too. So here I am for 90 minutes twice a week staring at myself in the mirror up close and personal because I had to be pretty close to the mirror because I'm at the front of the room. And all I would do in that time was notice positive things about my body subtly. Most of my focus, of course, was on teaching and looking around the room and seeing how everyone was doing and the cueing and the music and all the things. But what my mind, when it was noticing my body, it was like, whoa. Like I have never been one with a ton of really super defined muscles. It's not the way my body generally carries. And I've never done enough like bodybuilding or anything to really get that. But when I'm in certain poses or movements, all of a sudden I would be able to see muscles that I didn't normally see because they'd be like flexing or reaching. So like in enough of a like deep, wide-legged goddess squat, moving and dancing, I could see a definition of my inner thigh muscle. That's never visible. I'd be like, holy shit, look at that. I always have a little bit of a softness in my belly, but there's usually, depending on how much weight I'm carrying or not, there's some lines. I have some ab definition, not a lot. But when I'm moving and my abs are flexing and my flesh is getting pulled over it in different directions, whoa, there's a whole bunch of definition I'm not used to seeing. So I start noticing these things. And then a really fucking fascinating thing happened, which is that one time I was away from teaching for an extended period of time. I think I went on a trip for 3 weeks or something. And I couldn't figure out why by the end of the trip, my self-esteem was lower. And I was like, why is that? I'm not feeling very good about myself. I didn't do anything differently. Nothing happened on this trip. And it's not like I do a lot of things for my self-esteem that I'm aware of. So what's going on? Then I came back and I taught my first yoga class on my way back and I felt euphoric. And I was like, oh my God, it's because subtly, subconsciously or minimally consciously, I'm pumping all this positive energy into myself about my own physical body during this 90-minute class and feeling good about myself. And it's creating this sense of self-esteem and confidence without me even realizing or meaning to, because this was so trained in me at this point, it was automatic. And you know what happened? My body started to change. I didn't really notice at first, But I would see people that I hadn't seen in months or a year or something, and they would be like, holy shit, what diet are you on? And I'd be like, I don't think I've lost a lot of weight. And they're like, no, you look completely different. Tell me everything you're doing. I got to know what you're doing. And I stopped and I really thought about it. And I was like, complimenting my body in the mirror when I work out is the only thing that's different. I'm not eating differently. I stopped going on crazy diets a long time ago. So I don't know what else is different. And this is the big picture thinking that I want you to start playing with. That ability to pan back and see the big picture is something that, you know, when I was working in business and administration and small business, it was something that I would have listed on my like super skills. And people would say, this is something Kara's really good at, is that big picture visioning and thinking and the ability to keep the big picture in mind, even when you're working on the minutiae. It made me a great project manager. It made me a great team manager. I could manage business in a really great way. As a coach, I could utilize this because I could remember and see the big picture of what I was working on with clients. I would be able to pull back and be like, well, you're doing so great because remember 6 months ago or a year ago or 3 years ago, however long we're working together, and I could pull information to show them, let's pan back and see. But it didn't occur to me that when I'm manifesting things in my life, I'm actually using that big picture thinking in creation. And if I pause and use it in the areas that it could really make a big impact on, the areas I haven't used it in before, like my home, that really cool changes could happen. So I want to pose to you, what if this is an antidote to criticism and judgment? You just saw how it was an antidote to criticism, right? What if it was an antidote to judgment as well? How often do you complain about the one thing about that friend of yours that bugs the shit out of you, as opposed to thinking about the overall friendship and who they are as a person? And of course, they have great qualities and you love them because you maintain your friendship with them. And if someone said, what percentage of them is a wonderful human being? You would be like, oh, it's this much, as opposed to, hey, what's up with that person? You'd be like, oh, I can't ever get that person to call me back. I have a friend and we love each other very dearly. And we're not like the daily in each other's lives kind of friends, but when we see each other, it's very, very, very loving and open-hearted. But she ghosts me in text messages and communication. And this is a thing of hers. I am fully aware that it has nothing to do with me and that it's a thing of hers. She will tell you, this is a thing I do. I shut down and I stop communicating with people. And yet, I let this be like a splinter that festers in our relationship because I get my feelings hurt. And then when I think about her, sometimes it's the first thing I think about. Instead of all the amazing things she's brought to my life and all the amazing connection that we've had and what an incredible human being she is and how much I wish we were spending time together right now, I'm like, ugh, I should, you know, I just wish she would text me back. Who fucking cares? So this is your cue. Next time you feel judgment, next time you feel criticism, use this. Are you judging a stranger? Are you judging a friend? Are you judging your partner, your kids, yourself, your home, your job? This is a practice of generosity and grace. Generosity and grace. And I think we all deserve generosity and grace. So I'm very excited. I would love, love, love if you tell me what area of your life you try this on first and what happens. Because it's really nice to listen to all this and hopefully it brings some inspiration to you and maybe helps you get into alignment a little bit. And if your higher self nudged you, you know, dropped this podcast in your lap, it was for a reason. So I know you've gotten something out of it because I trust that the messages I'm getting and recording here are going to get to the people who are wanting to hear them, as well as benefiting me, of course. Great messages for myself too. But just for a second, before you go on to do the next thing in your life, in your day, pause and think of one area in your life you want to use this practice on. One area of your life that you want to start practicing big picture thinking, big picture viewing, big picture lens, looking through the big picture. I'm going to try this on my home. I'm going to see if I can walk around my house and look through the big picture lens and see it in that way instead, through that new fresh eyes. And I want to know what area of your life you're going to try this on and what you notice. All right. So much love, darlings. deep bow of gratitude to you, my friends, for showing up for yourself and taking the time for this experience. If you enjoyed this, and I hope you did, it would mean so much to me if you would write a positive review. And please share this with your friends who you think might enjoy it. My team has set up some free presents for you, including a guided meditation, an energy healing, and a sneak peek into one of my programs. So go to caraviana.com to download those. And be sure to keep your ears open. The doors to Master Your Magic Intuitive Development School are opening again very soon. With the deepest love, cheers to all that you are.